My name is Father Jim, and I understand from Vatican Radio that a number of people who listen to these programs are either sick or nearing death and find the programs very comforting and reassuring and affirming. Well, I hope these few talks on the dream of Gerontius will be refreshment for you, as well as instructive. The Dream of Gerontius is a poem, a beautiful poem written by Cardinal Newman. It was put to music by Elgar. When I was 11, I had a beautiful voice, and when it broke, it shattered, of course, and I can't sing for anything now. But when I was understudy of the angel, it gave me a great love of this poem and its music, and it's taught me a lot about dying. Gerontius is a holy man who's near death, and he goes through the stages of mourning his death before he died, those stages I talked about when speaking about Beethoven and his opera Fidelio in an earlier series of talks. When I was first ordained, I was sent to be chaplain at the Middlesex Hospital in London, as well as helping in the local parish. And the first day I was there, I was doing a tour of the hospital and came to the maternity section. And the assistant matron in charge of maternity, who liked to drop names, told me that she attends many royal births with the consultant gynaecologist. She'd been to Buckingham Palace a few times. And then she said to me, "Where have I been?" Well, I said, "I've just been studying in Rome." She said, "Do you speak Italian?" I said, "Yes." "Thank goodness for that," she said. "Could you translate this for me?" And produced a chart of instructions for mothers in labour. Well, I looked at it and thought, oh, I said to her, we didn't often use those words in the Vatican. So we had a good laugh. Anyhow, I translated it for her. And there were some very interesting instructions. One was push. Another was don't push. Pant. Count up to 20. Take a deep breath. Rest. The trouble was, some of the Italian mothers who didn't understand the instructions were doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. When they should have been pushing, they were having a siesta. And when they were resting, it was time to push. Or they were pushing when they shouldn't have done and just exhausted themselves. Now, St. Paul said that the whole of creation is in one great act of giving birth. And in giving birth, I understand now there's a time for action, activity, and there's a time for deep breaths and resting. In other words, there's a time for Martha. Do you remember the sister Martha, who was always active, and the sister Mary, who was always sitting and resting? But often we do the wrong thing at the wrong time. And for me, death is the greatest push, the greatest act of giving birth to eternal life that we'll ever achieve. Because as I explained in earlier talks, it's wonderful to help people achieve their death and not feel that they've just been robbed of life. Like our Lord, he laid down his life before they could take it. Well, in the dream of Gerontius, we have this holy man dying, surrounded by his friends at the bed. It's terrible to die alone. I've often been to funerals where I've been the only mourner, or in the cemetery, I'm the only person there. That's why our Lord was so upset when he was going through his agony. No one of his friends happened to be awake to watch with him. I was once in a parish in London, and some ministers of the Eucharist were starting their work, and they needed some instructions. Well, when they first took communion, they were really sort of like postmen, taking our Lord from the one place, the church, and posting him in somebody's home. And then they found, instead of just saying, "Oh, she's in there, will you say goodbye before you go?" the rest of the family was saying, "Could we receive communion too?" And then the neighbours heard that the Lord was passing that way. And they said, "Could we call in?" And gradually, a community was built around that bed of the dying person. And messages went backwards and forwards to the parish, like, "The dying man's wife can't get out. could somebody babysit for her for a couple of hours a week so she can do the shopping? Or if she doesn't get much sleep, would anyone like to help just keep an eye on the sick person? Well, anyone got any spare pyjamas? And then the bidding prayers of the parish were brought on a nice sheet of paper and left by the dying person's bed, so that they were praying for the parish as well as the parish praying for them, so that they felt part not just of a community round the bed, but of a communion with the whole church in their big growing pain to eternal life. Well, Gerontius is going through times of quiet and times of confidence and faith. And so at one stage he feels that there are sort of harpies, ghosts flapping their wings at him and causing him dismay and distress. And all he can cry out is, "O Jesus, help. Mary, pray for me." And we remember that Our Lady stood at the cross praying for the Son at the hour of his death. And that moment she took us all on. And I presume, as were all her sons and daughters too, she prays for us at the hour of our death. So Gerontius is reminding Our Lady of her prayers at the hour of his death. During this great act of faith, he sings that wonderful hymn that Newman composed, "Firmly I Believe and Truly, God is Three and God is One." "And I acknowledge duly manhood taken by the Son," a hymn that we still sing today. And then the people round the bed are interceding for him, and eventually they call in the parish priest. For me, it's always been an enormous privilege to say these words to a dying person. Gerontius sings, "Novissima ora est." "The last hour has come, and I would like to sleep. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit," repeating what our Lord said at the hour of his death. And the priest comes and sings, "Proficiscere anima Christiana de hoc mundo." "Proficiscere anima Christiana." "Go forth upon your journey, Christian soul. Go from this world." Shoo, in other words. It's a wonderful command to go. And he's not alone. He's surrounded by the whole people round the bed who join him singing, "Go in the name of God, the omnipotent Father who created thee." You're going in a benevolent atmosphere. "Go in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who bled for thee. In the name of the Holy Spirit who's been poured out on thee. Go in the name of angels and archangels, thrones and dominations, princedoms, powers, cherubim and seraphim, evangelists, apostles, monks, both men and women. Go on thy course, and may thy place today be found in peace, and may thy dwelling be on the holy Mount of Zion, always through the same, through Christ our Lord." And that really is a little summary of the first half of the dream of Gerontius.